You're listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
Welcome back. We're talking with Roger W. Robinson, a former senior official in the Reagan administration, who, as we've been discussing, played an incredibly important role in helping to bring down the last totalitarian ideology that sought the destruction of the United States, Soviet communism, but who is still very much engaged in trying to help the rest of us understand the challenges that we're facing from the successors to the Soviet Union and their Chinese allies at the moment. We'll talk more about both of those in a moment. But Roger, I did want to give you an opportunity to talk a little bit about your new project, IntelTrack.com, a product of RWR Advisory Group. Give us a sense of what IntelTrack.com is and what it does.
Well, Frank, about 3 or 4 years ago, we were seized with the idea of trying to build a common operating picture, as they would say in the military, a visual representation of the transactions of initially the state-owned enterprises of our two principal adversaries, China and Russia, both of whom have impressive global footprints, so to speak, with their many enterprises, China far more than Russia, as you can imagine. But nevertheless, and we thought that if we could build a database just through old-fashioned research that we did through prescription, subscription and other databases, foreign languages, trade publications, press releases. In other words, we scoured the world for any information on these sometimes rather hidden transactions, particularly of subsidiaries of the Chinese and Russian state-owned enterprises. So it was a deeper drill effort, and we were able to build over time 5 years of past data on every transaction of not just the state-owned enterprises now, but those are state-controlled, namely those private sector firms that are fraudulently represented as being private sector when, in fact, they're state-controlled.
Roger Robinson is our guest. And Roger, you were making the point that state-owned enterprises in some of these dangerous places, like the Russian and Chinese economies, are a particular concern in terms of what they're up to in foreign investment and other activities that you're tracking with IntelTrack.com. Please carry on.
Well, we do this on a daily basis, Frank. So this is as close to real-time information as possible. And you're quite right. If you look at the Russian economy today, they themselves admit to 70% of the economy controlled by state-owned enterprises. China is somewhat lower, but when you really see the full scope of how they manage these matters, I think that percentage is even higher. So you're out there in our marketplace, in the international trading and financial system that we built from Bretton Woods onward after the war. This is our, in effect, domain and has been adjudicated by Western rules. Russia and China have been able to enter that space, indeed be welcomed in that space. But here's the kicker. You know, some of those enterprises, many of them, are state-controlled or state-owned. They have strategic agendas. They have security-related agendas. They're into buying the strategic assets of small neighboring states, for example, some of the smaller NATO nations, not just other nations. And the entire desire, in this case Russia, is to compromise those economies and the political leaders of those countries so that they take over the nuclear sector, they take over the natural gas sector, they take over mining and metals. In other words, it's a creeping, insidious kind of warfare. Part of their hybrid warfare, I would say, as much as 40%. Of Chinese and Russian hybrid warfare is based in what we call the economic and financial threat domain.
Yeah, hold for a moment on getting into some of the particulars here, and we will in the course of this full hour with Roger W. Robinson. But just develop a little bit more, if you would, that term hybrid warfare, what they mean by it, and what should give us such concern.
Well, as we know now from the invasion of Ukraine and the way the Chinese are playing their hand in the illegal island building in the South China Sea, it's all now, Frank, about incremental steps. Those encroachments, those strategic gains that are just below the radar screen of catalyzing a military response from the West. They're not keen on starting a shooting incident or some kind of limited war, but they're very keen on, not yet, but coming through the very threshold of how far can they push the envelope and what means can they use, like disinformation and these massive media campaigns to take over the airwaves in countries, the economic and financial, as I said, building strangleholds, creating dependencies. China's dollar diplomacy, where they buy whole African countries that are awash in precious resources, and so it's framed as being commercial and legitimate economic activity, but it's not. They're not interested in the profit margin or profit motive. They don't have shareholders per se. This is not about corporate governance or anything that we might consider in that category. This is about paying what's required, paying the bribes that are required, doing whatever, selling arms on the side, any sweetener to get that project, that nuclear deal, that pipeline, that high-speed rail system. So they're looking at trying to grab those strategic hubs and nodes of economies. So that's why the economic and financial is so prevalent in hybrid warfare. You don't necessarily have to get to the little green men phase of things. If you can feign commercial activity, but really be executing a complicated, insidious hybrid warfare strategy. And that's what's afoot here.
Let's talk then, Roger, a little bit about China's strategy. I mean, you've, again, outlined it in broad detail, but how would you characterize its strategic objectives?
Well, I think it's clear that China is about regional hegemony and pushing the United States out of the Asia-Pacific region, undermining our alliances, isolating us from Japan and South Korea, leaving Australia out there dangling. In other words, whatever it takes. You've seen the way that they've long ago cowed Southeast Asia and how they use their proxies in Cambodia and other countries that they've already purchased, in effect, as veto power to make sure that there's no consensus, you know, in such gatherings on something like their incursions into the South China Sea. So we're already seeing plenty of evidence of the way they're compromising the region and trying to break the will. Look at the Philippine president, who no longer wants to enforce the tribunal results that the country worked so hard to get, all for fear of offending China. So again, they want this intimidating presence so that they can make these gains to get us out and take control of that vital region of more than half of the world's trade under a Chinese wing. So
and
it's
a tremendous amount of its resources as well. Roger, we're going to pause for just a moment. When we come back, I want to ask whether it's more than regional hegemony that the Chinese aspire to and what that might mean in addition to what you've already described for us. That and more with Roger Robinson of RWR Advisory and IntelTrack.com. Right after this.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.